ago, a week, 2 weeks ago, when we had the discussion on the problem that was at Corinth as it relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that since then I pointed out that there are so many important lessons that can be brought to bear upon our knowledge of Christ and Christ's plan for us, and bear upon our faithfulness and commitment to Christ. The lesson for the next, hopefully, 15, 20, or 30 minutes that I plan to share with you is for us to take another look at the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and to examine a few verses. It was one of those lessons that I had planned that sometime in the near future I would want to share. Another one of these lessons is taken from verse 32 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That will not be discussed tonight, even if that passage is read. But that is also one of the passages that I hope to have us examine in a lesson. Read verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 15 for us.
If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus.
If as the manner of men I have fought with the beasts of Ephesus.
What advantageth it me if the dead raise not?
That's right. And somebody will ask, Brother Mitchell, does this talk about the beast of Ephesus, does it relate to the resurrection of Christ? Yes. Almost everything in the entire chapter, which carries some 40-odd or 50-odd verses, is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we will be looking at some time on what was Paul speaking about when he talked about fighting with the beasts or wrestling with the beasts of Ephesus. Jesus Christ's resurrection is one of the foundation doctrine of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you and I, you or I, read the Bible and we come upon that passage, don't just go through it and the things you do not understand, you just assume that it is not for you. Because everything in that passage was meant, everything was meant to be of some help, encouragement, enlightenment to each one of us. In fact, let me just Let me hear verse 21 and 22. Read aloud for me.
For since by man come death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Okay. When I go over a few verses, I might be coming back to that, those two verses, to talk about the two Adams. The two Adams looking partially at contrast and resemblance of the two Adams. Okay, verse 30.
And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?
Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? That is also about the resurrection of Christ. It is part of the topic, the subject that the Apostle Paul was on. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Brother Mitchell, how does that relate to the resurrection? Look at verse 32.
If after the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage hath it me?
This is also about the resurrection of Christ. Verse 33.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
You notice that that's a verse, or the wording, that we use so often because it is so applicable in many situations. In effect, that verse is saying, be careful of the friends that you keep. Read it again, brother.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
That's right. And Brother Michel, that applies, that have any relevance to Christ? Yes. That's what he's talking about. Let me just throw this out now. In that verse, what he was warning the Corinthians, that those members of the church that have gone astray and permitted themselves to be deceived by the falsehood that either the resurrection has been passed or that there is no resurrection. Members in the congregation at Corinth that were so deceived, Paul was warning the others that if you keep company with those who are questioning the teaching of the resurrection, you may get corrupted. That's out of that which verse 33 comes. Quite directly dealing with the resurrection and the falsehood that was being taught. Verse 35 and 36.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickeneth, except it die.
Here again, here Paul using the strong word, you fool. And what he's saying, what is stated in verse 35, 36, is the question that those who want to accept the falsehood that there is no resurrection, they would come up with questions like this. Well, if the dead are going to be resurrected, tell me, what body are they going to have? Paul resorted to the person's common sense. When he would refer to a fellow child of God, I don't know if they were, if they would have been considered children of God when they fall for falsehood. But the point Paul is saying here, when we say, thou fool, he's saying, think no. When you plant something and it spring up, the seed have to die for it to bring that sprout. And that is something known throughout man's history, wherever we live. And Paul is saying it's along the same principle that the Almighty God applies when it comes to the resurrection. You had read verse 36?
Yes, yes.
Verse 40.
There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
Okay, remember, celestial is looking up, terrestrial is looking down. That is, terrestrial body, earth, or rather bodies that are fashioned by God for this earth, and celestial body that are fashioned for heaven. Verse 45.
And so it is written, the first man Adam was a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Okay, thank you. So we take a few minutes in just a brief look on the two Adams. They were brought in, well, up front from what the passage teaches, you know that one of them is the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. The other Adam is Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, as I've stated, is the foundation doctrine of Christianity. Hence, Paul spends so much time and as country people would say, left no stone unturned in this text of 1 Corinthians 15. No stone left unturned in dealing with the falsehood and clarifying the truth in respect to the resurrection that you and I are looking forward to. The apostle, in this passage, the apostle Paul approached the subject of the resurrection from every possible angle. When you get some time to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and mark you, if you ever do that, and I would encourage you to, if there are things that you're not sure you understand, just jot it down, because you can always come, and there are many brothers and sisters that can be of help. But Paul approached the issue, the subject. I mean, here is a passage that contains, it contains at least 40 odd verses. 50 how much? 58 verses. And you don't find many passages from Acts, Rome, to Revelation that contain so many verses. I'm not saying you can't find any. You'll find a few chapters, but not many. And almost the entire chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us hear verse 21 and 22 again.
For since by man came death.
That man is Adam.
By man came also the resurrection of the dead.
That man is Jesus Christ. Notice that he generalized man, referring both to Adam and Jesus Christ. By man came death.
By man came also the resurrection.
It was Adam disobeying God that brought death on earth. That's a fact. Sin bring forth death. Had there been no sin, there would be no death. That's a fact. It was Adam's transgression that brought death. But in the same way that Adam's transgression brought death, Jesus Christ coming bring forth life. Read on.
But every man in his...
No, start again. I want especially verse 22.
Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Jesus Christ brings resurrection from the dead.
Amen. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
In Adam and in Christ here is not stating that they are Christian. The in Adam and in Christ more carry the idea of as in Adam's influence or through Adam's influence comes that through Jesus Christ's influence and power comes life. The in Adam here and in Christ is referring more to influence. Why it's important for us to understand that and why point that out, you know. The Bible uses a lot of in Christ. And usually this means you're a Christian. Most of the places where it is used, it means that you have a relationship with Christ. But in Adam, as I've said, is not just like in Christ in this text. It's not stating there that Only those who are in Christ will be resurrected. What the passage is saying, in the same way that through Adam, and that would calculate Adam's sin, in the same way that in Adam, sin took place and death by sin, in Jesus Christ, all will be resurrected. Let me just drop this. Whether a man is a Christian or not, through Jesus Christ, every person who has ever lived and died is going to come from the grave. Be mindful of that. And this passage is not overthrowing that. In fact, it is supporting it, stated in the book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Let us hear that passage. St. John, chapter 5, I think, verse 28 and 29.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming.
The hour is coming.
In the which.
All that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
Shall hear his voice. And all shall come forth.
Uh-huh.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
So there you have it. And always be mindful of this passage, that there will be a general resurrection. But what you know? That is made possible through Jesus Christ. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 shines some light on the general resurrection. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, I think.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Go on.
But every man in his own order.
You know, I like this but, and I like Paul's thoughtfulness. In Adam, everybody going to die. In Christ, everybody going to be resurrected. Paul found it necessary to make some clarification.
Amen.
And that clarification is very important. That was verse 23. Mm-hmm.
But every man in his own order.
Let us hear a little more of the order. Go on.
Christ, the first fruits.
Uh-huh.
Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming.
The priority in the resurrection is Jesus Christ. But Jesus' resurrection took place already. Right. And that resurrection, that of Jesus Christ, the third day after he was put to death, that resurrection was sort of a down payment, telling us that we too are going to have a resurrection. But Paul in verse 23 is pointing out that while all will be resurrected, there will be different order. And what is, while he didn't worry go into detail, he treated the most important aspect of the lesson he wants to share, that there will be a resurrection of the dead. But then he implied that there need to be some clarification there. The dead that are resurrected all will not be in the same order. And this is why John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 is always a good supporting passage to let us understand the resurrection better. So let us look at just probably one or two areas of the contrast and of the semblance or resemblance. In the resemblance of Adam and Christ, the resemblance is especially pronounced in the extensiveness of the influence that Adam bear on man and Jesus Christ bear on man. The extensiveness or the extensibility of the influence. Adam's influence on the earth may appear more extensive than Christ's influence. That's where, that's how it may appear. It may appear to us sometimes that Adam had far more influence on humanity than Christ. That's the way it may look to us. But Jesus Christ and Christianity, the influence of Jesus Christ and Christianity is more immeasurable when we take all time into consideration. That is, you and I do not know how long this world will last. Nobody knows that but God. But no one knows the extent to which Jesus Christ and Christianity will influence the world another 500 years from now, another 1,000 years, another 10,000 years. We don't know. But as it stands now, it appears as if Adam's influence is much more extensive than Christ. But we do not know what tomorrow or the next few hundred or few thousand years will bring. Not only that, the influence of one of these Adam is destructive. That's a fact. So in a sense, if you are measuring the extent of their influence or the resemblance, just the quality of the influence should be taken into consideration. And as I've just stated, Adam's influence. One, it involved us learning from Adam to sin. Two, Adam influence, through that influence come death. Three, Adam influence, through that influence come suffering, come tears, come sorrow. All of these influence come from Adam. So it's not just sin. It's all the things that accompany sin. The influence of the other Adam is different. Look at verse 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Jesus Christ comes to quicken, to give life. And even Christianity, even the church, that's what it is about. The miserable life that we have here. The life that it matters not what joy comes your way today. By tomorrow, something comes in to spoil it, a little or to spoil it, enough. But the life that Jesus Christ promised us will be the type of peace and contentment that we are not able to imagine that type of life. You know why? Even our powerful imagination is contaminated by sin. So we are not able to think of a life where there is no sorrow, there is no tears, there is no problem. That's the life that Jesus Christ comes to bring. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
You know, this is what it called Jesus Christ, our life. When he comes, we will appear with him.
In glory.
In glory.
Read on.
So,
mortify therefore your members.
Mortify, which means kill.
Which are upon the earth.
Bring our members under, that is, members of our body, under the subjection of Christ. Because when the members of our bodies are permitted to have its free way, that is what brings eternal, not just physical death, but eternal death. So, as I close, in verse 21 and 22, the emphasis is on the two Adams. One Adam, the emphasis is that Adam with death. That's the first Adam. The second Adam is Jesus Christ with life. As I said, this is just a brief examination of the resemblance and the contrast between the two Adams. And of course, that's what Paul was doing here in verse 21, 22. That one of these Adam brings for us sin, death, suffering, tears, the other Adam bring peace, life, and happiness. As we close, remember, the entire passage of 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul dealing with the falsehood that the resurrection, there is no resurrection. So when you get a chance, read it. In fact, you should make a time to study that passage and to gather what you can from it. The very foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ rests on the fact that not only is Jesus Christ resurrected, but on the basis of that resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can look forward to a coming resurrection for all Christians. As time goes on, there are passages in the text that we will study again, such as what did Paul have in mind when he talked about wrestling with the beast of Ephesus? Thank you.